It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements, an enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history, from Eden to Mount Hermon, from Hermon to Babel, from Babel to Rome, from Rome to the cross, and from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes, and to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're delighted that you have chosen to join us today. It's December.
Yes, it is.
And this is a month when everybody gets really, really busy.
Mm. It is. Rushing to and fro, as Daniel might have said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and knowledge is increasing. At least we pray it is. And that's why we are here, not to give you bad knowledge, but we're praying that we can give you good information about the Bible and how it's all one story.
Mm. And we have just, the deeper we go into this, and this really started with our weekly Bible study, online Bible study, the Gilbert House Fellowship. Back in 2014, as we go through things week by week, realizing that there's far more in here than we realized. So we're not trying to come up with some exciting new way of understanding the Bible. We're just trying to dig into it and understand it the way the prophets and the apostles did.
Well, that's the thing. If you study the Bible and you try to find out how the apostles understood it, mm-hmm. how those who received the information originally understood the context, then it gets really exciting. You don't have to read anything into it.
Right.
Just read it as it's supposed to be read.
Absolutely. Now, there are parts of the Bible that are necessarily speculative, and prophecy is one of those, end times prophecy, because it's not yet been fulfilled. And our Lord, being the greatest general in all of history, has not revealed all of his plans because the enemy is listening and studying his word every bit as intently, in fact, probably even more so than most of us. One of the areas of study that has been, it has been intriguing Bible scholars since the second century, first century even, really the second century, because John wrote Revelation toward the end of the first. But by the second century, you had theologians like Irenaeus, who was the Bishop of Lyon, who was a student of Polycarp, who in turn was a student of John himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to speculate on the nature of the Antichrist and who the Antichrist might be. But he had a bit of wisdom after he shared his thought. And what was really intriguing was learning that he thought the name of the Antichrist, based on the gematria of 666, was Titan.
Oh.
Yeah. So
spelled T-E-I-T.
T-A-N.
Right.
But he said it fits the clues, and it's a name that implies royalty, not generally in use. But then he added this caution, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, that if the Lord had meant for us to know it, he would have revealed the name of the Antichrist to John.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He does, however, tell us to calculate the name.
Yes, he does. And so
many of us have tried.
Right. And come up with many, many different conclusions. And today we're going to continue our study, what the Bible tells us about the Antichrist, what firm information we have, and what conclusions we might be able to draw.
Indeed,
and you'll see before the end of today that there are several rational, reasonable, intelligent people, friends of ours, mm-hmm. who don't necessarily agree with us, have come to different conclusions.
That's good.
Iron sharpening iron.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that never bothers us at all. By the way, if you're sitting there and you're watching and you're thinking, wait a minute, what's that white Bible?
I'm not sure that's in the shot. Might have to hold that up.
That white Bible has never been on that table before.
No, this is the new Defender Family Bible.
And we're going to tell you how you can get one of these if you missed out getting the Defender Bible that we had a couple of years ago and you wish you had gotten it. You can get this as a gift for Christmas for someone. So we'll tell you about that after the break.
Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned Daniel earlier, and we're going to go back into the book of Daniel now to look at one of the passages of Scripture, of his prophecy of the end times, that has led to some conclusions about who, or clues rather, about where the Antichrist might come from, his nationality, if you will, or his ethnicity.
Yes.
And then we will try to break it down to the best of our ability and see what we can conclude here. This is Daniel chapter 9, and this is a section that we talked about previously as we discussed the precision of prophecy and the coming prince by Sir Robert Anderson.
Well, exactly. I love, love, love that book. And you can get it. I think it's available through Google Books for free.
Oh, yeah. It's available online. It's in the public domain.
It really is. And I've told Tom Horn he really should publish that book because it is such an amazing book. It really helped us a lot during writing. Was it Veneration?
Giants, Gods, and Dragons.
That's right, Giants, Gods, and Dragons.
Right, the precision of prophecy. Sir Robert Anderson was an investigator on the case, investigating and trying to track down Jack the Ripper. And he applied his skills of deduction and investigation into that 70 weeks prophecy. So if you haven't seen that episode, go back in the archives. We now have a YouTube channel back for Unraveling Revelation. So at unravelingrevelation.tv, we now have a playlist there where we begin with episode 1. I'm in the process of re-uploading all the episodes so that by the time this airs, we pray, I will have all of them, all 117 by this point.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm amazed. In order, so if you want to start at the beginning and kind of go through with us from episode number 1, you can do that at unravelingrevelation.tv. But you can find in the archives the episode where we talk about the precision of prophecy and the coming prince by Sir Robert Anderson. But as part of the prophecy of the 70 weeks, the 70-week timeline, the angel Gabriel reveals to Daniel, and I quote now from Daniel 9, beginning at verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed." Verse 27, "And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator." Well, there's a lot packed into those two verses.
So much.
The assumption here by some is that Daniel 9:26, after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and have nothing. We discussed that in the episode where we talked about the coming prince.
Right.
That's referring to Messiah. And again, if you missed that episode, the bottom line was that Sir Robert Anderson, working in the late 19th century, early 20th century, calculated to the day the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem, with the triumphal entry. "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." That's the key verse. And on that verse, many prophecy scholars have concluded that this refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And therefore, the prince who is to come, it is assumed in this interpretation, refers to the Antichrist. The people of the prince who is to come then would be Rome, which is where the theory emerged that the Antichrist will be a Roman and perhaps a future pope.
Possibly. Now, you're reading from verse 26 in the ESV. Allow me to read it to you in the Septuagint.
Okay.
"And after the 62 weeks, the anointed one shall be destroyed, and there is no judgment in him. And he shall destroy the city and the sanctuary with the prince that is coming. There shall be cut off with a flood. They shall be cut off with a flood. And to the end of the war, which is rapidly completed, he shall appoint the city to desolations." That's entirely different.
And now the Lexham English Septuagint, which is a newer or more modern translation of the, and again, the Septuagint, if you're not familiar, so more formal English. The Septuagint was translated by 70, or at least that's the tradition, 70 Jewish scholars, a couple of centuries, completed their work about a couple of centuries before the birth of Jesus, translating from older Hebrew into Greek. And so this gives us a window into how Jews understood this text. And after 7 and 70 and 62,
mm-hmm.
an anointed one will be removed. And remember, anointed one in Hebrew means is Mashiach, Messiah.
Yes, exactly. Or Christ in Greek.
Yes, in Greek. And a kingdom from among the nations will despoil the city and the holy place along with the anointed one. And his end will come with destructive anger at the time of the consummation. There will be war upon war. So in the older
That's
Hebrew
really
text,
different.
Yes, yes. In the older Hebrew text, it would appear, and again, we're in scholars who've translated the Septuagint into English are having to work with the Greek Septuagint translation.
Exactly.
And which so we have to kind of infer what the older Hebrew text might have been from the way the Jewish scholars 2,200 years ago translated it into Greek.
Exactly. And there are a couple of reasons why I love the Septuagint for the book of Daniel. One is that it proves the book of Daniel is actually older than the fulfillment.
The fulfillment,
it really
yes.
is
His
prophetic.
Prophecies of the wars between the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt and the
yes.
Seleucid kingdom of Syria, the successor states
They're
to Alexander the Great.
So specific
right.
that some people think that it was written after those mm-hmm. occurred, but no, it was written before because we have the Septuagint translation in what, 300 BC? So two or 300 years before Christ was born.
Right.
Now, what I find also interesting in the Septuagint is that those scholars probably were working with a text we have never seen.
That's correct, because our English Bibles are based on the Masoretic text, which was completed around 1000 AD, so mm-hmm. about 1200 years more recent.
Yes. And there's a wonderful book by Douglas Woodward.
Actually, it's a two-volume set.
Oh, wonderful books.
Yes, Rebooting the Bible, Volumes 1 and 2, and he goes into great detail showing some of the key differences between the Septuagint translation and the Masoretic text on which our Old Testament, English Old Testament Bibles are based.
The Masoretes, they removed a lot of references to a second power in heaven.
Yeah, tweaked it a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because those annoying Christians kept saying, we know who that is, that's Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. No, let's get that out of there. And that was what, about 1000 AD, 800 AD? Something?
About 1000 AD was when it was complete.
Long time after the Septuagint.
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is that the Septuagint does not make reference to the prince who is to come. It just mentions a nation a nation from among the peoples.
This one does. The Brenton.
Okay. All right.
Again, verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, the anointed one shall be destroyed. That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And cut off. He essentially didn't become king.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no judgment in him. He doesn't end everything at that point. And he shall destroy the city and the sanctuary with the prince that is coming.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, you're right. The more modern Lexham English Septuagint is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
A kingdom from among the nations will despoil the city and the holy place along with the anointed one, and his end will come with destructive anger at the time of the consummation.
That's so different.
Yeah.
I just wonder how, if they were working with a different version of the original text.
Let me look at the New English translation, because the translators are very generous with leaving notes as to why certain translations, translation choices were made.
Right.
They translate verse 26 this way. Now after the 62 weeks, an anointed one will be cut off and have nothing. As for the city and the sanctuary, the people of the coming prince mm-hmm. will destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And some translations, though, this is what they put in the translator's notes. Some witnesses, e.g. the Syriac, understand a passive verb and the preposition. You see what I mean about some of the really detailed stuff here where the translators have to make choices.
Yeah.
A passive verb and the preposition rather than the noun, meaning people. So the mm-hmm. preposition with rather than the noun people, thus reading, quote, the city and the sanctuary will be destroyed with the coming prince. So again, the translators have kind of had to make some choices here as to what exactly this means.
Well, I love it, though, because our general, our Lord in heaven, the Creator, he is not going to let the fallen realm know his battle plan.
That is true. That is true. But as we continue with this, we're spending an entire episode on basically two verses in Daniel here.
It's worth it, though.
Yes. And we will discuss why perhaps the he in verse 27 doesn't refer back to the coming prince, but to a future character that is the Antichrist when Unraveling Revelation continues.
Skywatch TV is proud to announce the largest holiday giveaway of the year, the Misfits Grand Giveaway. With so many in the body of Christ experiencing seasons of loneliness, insecurity, doubts about their God-given purpose, or feel like out-of-place misfits in the kingdom of God, the time for change is now. In their new book, Misfits, the ladies of Simply His delve into the vital spiritual realities and theological principles that demonstrate how these discouraging sentiments are not unique to you, but may in fact be indicators that you're on the verge of a spiritual breakthrough. In Misfits, you will learn surprisingly simple but life-changing biblical information that will empower you to discover your untapped potential, to find your God-ordained calling, and to embrace your destiny. Also included in this incredible holiday giveaway is Donna Howell's thrilling sequel to the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, entitled Ebenezer, where she answers what was left unaddressed at the end of the Dickens novel, such as, whatever becomes of Tiny Tim? And what happens when people from all over London witness the change in Ebenezer and learn that the motivation behind all of his transformation began with what they believed to be ghostly visitations? You'll also receive the never-before-released collection, Christmas Classics, a beautiful volume of 9 full books with 14 stories total, all celebrating Christmas. These classic narratives will warm your heart and inspire you this holiday season, featuring titles in their entirety like A Christmas Carol, The Shepherd's Story, The Shepherd Who Didn't Go, The Gift of the Magi, The Other Wise Man, and several more. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on data disc. Now, for the first time ever, this must-have assortment features 110 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length books are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices, valued at over $1,500 all by itself. You'll also receive directly from the Skywatch TV archive the complete Teens Rock Collection on DVD. Join Joe Horn and his talented group of young panelists as they discuss important issues facing today's modern youth culture, featuring bonus interviews with musicians Alicia and Whitney as they perform their original songs, So Much More, and Try Kneeling. And finally, included in the Misfits Grand Giveaway, Joe Horn's new CD, This Time Around, featuring the entire Horn family performing hit singles like Long Drive. Talk to Jesus.
So let your heart light on fire for the one true Messiah. Talk to Jesus. Yeah.
This time around.
This time around. Yeah. It's not about my spotted record. Crying about the man I want to be.
And so many more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $1,600. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. The Misfits Grand Giveaway, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and as promised, we're going to tell you how you can get this beautiful hardcover. You can put it out on your coffee table. You can keep it by your bedside. I mean, this is a book that you can read to your children. It's a red letter edition.
This is a really, and it's actually large print.
It's
for,
large
older
print.
Folks like
I
us.
Can almost read this without my reading glasses. So that's something right there. Yeah, this is gorgeous.
This is part of a gift package that we are offering as a thank you for your support of
we
Whispering
being Skywatch
Ponies
TV.
Yes, I should say Skywatch TV, but we being part of that.
Yes, indeed.
It's called the Friends of the Children special offer as we're working towards next year's camping season at Whispering Ponies Ranch for children in foster care age 9 through 11 with our partners at Royal Family Kids. For your donation of at least $300, you'll get this Bible, a gift box including things like a Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain, a Whispering Ponies Ranch calendar, a coffee mug, and Joe Horn's wonderful music disc called This Time Around.
He's CD. Amazing.
He is. He is truly a world-class musician. Plus, you get a $100 gift certificate to spend at the SkyWatch TV store any way you like. For your gift of $1,000 or more, you get the gift box, a $300 gift certificate to spend at the SkyWatch TV store, the Defender Family Bible, plus an invitation to the Whispering Ponies Ranch VIP banquet at our 2022 Defender Conference.
Oh.
We're meeting in person again next year.
Yay.
A tour of Whispering Ponies Ranch next fall, along with a photo of the SkyWatch TV staff and the Whispering Ponies Ranch staff, and an invitation to attend a recording session at the new SkyWatch TV studio. All of that, along with the Bible, for your donation of $1,000 or more.
Well, and, indeed. Yeah. Well, so it's two offers.
Yes, yes. There are various levels, and you can find them all. $300 or more for the gift package plus the Bible, $1,000 or more for the gift package, the Bible, and the extras, joining us at the banquet, at the conference, a tour of the ranch, a tour and a taping at the SkyWatch TV studios, a photo with basically all of that. You find all of the details at skywatchtvstore.com, and just click on the link that says Friends of the Children special offer, and thank you for your support.
We are so grateful for that, and as are the kids who come to SkyWatch TV.
Amen.
To the ranch.
Yes. Well, the verse 27 in Daniel chapter 9,
mm-hmm.
I think the he there in verse 27 clearly refers to the Antichrist. I don't think there's a question about that. And he shall make a strong covenant with many. And I think that is the link that prophecy teachers will use to connect back to the prince who is to come
mm-hmm.
in the previous verse. But Hebrew speakers have pointed out, wait a minute, the he in verse 27 cannot refer back to the prince who is to come, because that's not the active subject of the previous sentence. The active subject is the people.
Oh, that's interesting.
And again, it's a singular because it's a group. We Americans, we tend to think of, you know, the media is instead of the media are. You know, we tend to mix up our
we sort of pick and choose which ones we want to make collective nouns and which are plural. Yeah.
So this would violate the rules of Hebrew grammar if verse 27, the he referred back to the prince who is to come. It because that he would, under Hebrew grammar, have to refer to the people, but that doesn't make any sense. So the bottom line is the he is looking forward to the one who makes the covenant with many.
Now let me really get in there and mix things up, because
grammar is your bailiwick.
Well, I love grammar. In verse 27, in the Septuagint, this is the Brenton late 19th century version, and 1 week shall establish the covenant with many.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of the week, my sacrifice and drink offering shall be taken away. And on the temple shall be the abomination of desolations.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of time, an end shall be put to the desolation.
Yeah. Let me read the more modern Lexham English Septuagint. And it's interesting because neither of these makes reference to he.
I know.
And the covenant will be made strong for many, and it will recover again, and it will be built up in breadth and length. And at the end of the appointed times, and after 77 times.
What?
77 times and 62 years during the set time of the consummation of war. So what happened to the 77s?
Where did this, what?
Yes, and after 77 times and 62 years during the set time of the consummation of war, then the desolation shall be taken away when the covenant prevails for many weeks. And at the completion of the week, sacrifice and drink offering will be taken away, and upon the holy place there will be an abomination of desolation until the consummation, and a determined final destruction will be rendered upon the one making desolate. I know.
I really think that the Lexham translators must have had a different version of the Septuagint in Greek.
It must. I'm going to have to look up some notes here and find out why it's so different from the Brenton Septuagint. That's,
often it's very similar, but that is vastly different.
But the Masoretic text on which our English Bibles, you know, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And many Bible teachers have said that this is a covenant with Israel for 1 week, but it doesn't say that. It says a covenant with many for 1 week, and for half the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. This would be the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period.
Yes, assuming, I think so.
Yeah. And on the wing of abominations, and again, that's really hard to translate. What, is this a change in the temple?
Well, that's really interesting because there's a corner of the temple that's often referred to. This is research that I did for Giants, Gods, and Dragons. That is called the wing.
Yes. So we know, and we'll get to this in our in upcoming weeks as we continue a deep dive into who and the Antichrist is and what the Bible tells us.
We're going to have to continue this part next week because there's so much in here, especially with that variant version in the Lexham.
And we'll carry this over into the other verses in Daniel from Daniel 11 and 12 that deal with the Antichrist and declaring himself to be God. But based on these verses in Daniel 9, there are those two very good friends of ours. Bill Salas has interpreted that to mean, based on the destruction of the temple in 70 by the Romans, that the prince who is to come must be a Roman, and so he argues for a Roman Antichrist. Another good friend, Joel Richardson, among others, has argued that the fourth kingdom of Daniel's dream was not Rome, but the Ottoman Empire. So
the iron
mixed with miry clay, because it was a polyglot empire.
Well, it was iron legs.
Iron legs, right, but then the toes were mixed, right.
But that's often interpreted as now.
Right, the final kingdom, in which he believes, like argues kingdom. For an Islamic Antichrist.
Well,
that was his book, Mideast Beast, and he argued that Mecca was Mystery Babylon.
We love you, Bill. We love you, Joel. We love you both so very much.
Absolutely.
And I love iron sharpening iron because we truly don't know 100%. And I think each one of us is going to be surprised when it actually happens.
Right. So both of them, looking back from verse 27, the he, to the people who are to come.
And I have a theory as to the who the he is as well. And we will get to that next week, I guess, because
there's no
time now.
That's exactly right.
But I do want to recommend to you The Coming Prince, because that is such a good read. You'll love it. Mm-hmm. And I love the way Sir Robert Anderson writes. He suffers no fools.
No. He was an intelligent man, and he, those who were slow to follow his line of logic, he wrote a defense of Daniel.
He
called a book called Daniel in the Critic's Den.
Yes.
And pointed out, as you did earlier, that because Daniel was translated into the Septuagint Greek before the events of the 3rd and 2nd centuries B.C., all those political events that he prophesied were fulfilled, we know that Daniel was given supernatural revelation. It is the prophecy that confirms the supernatural authorship of the Bible that you hold in your hands. That is what is amazing here. We don't understand all of this perfectly to the end, but we can know that it is absolutely true and will be fulfilled. And that's why we do this study.
Amen.
And we thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com.